This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The drive is live.
That's right. The drive is live.
And the drive is live.
Yes, we are back. Tyler will be back soon. He is out today, but that's all right. We got young Chris Santiago here to hold it down. And you know you could be a part of this thing with the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump on and participate that way as well. There's Clint Sterner. You hear him? It's a nice little hoodie you pulled in there.
I'm on the Legends game, man. They got a solid product. They got a real solid product. I've been doing their workout shorts and trainers kind of deal for a while, and I went ahead and got on the. It's a full track suit, man. I got the pants.
You got the pants too?
Yeah, I just didn't pull it off today, man. It's a little.
You got it.
I was in a hurry to get out of the house.
You got to pull it. Yeah, you got to pull the whole thing off.
Damn. Yeah.
And nothing like a good tracksuit. There you go. Well, again, appreciate you joining us here on a Monday. A lot to get to. Clint, today is a big day. Today is a big day for the Texans. And yes, I do have to get back. I missed a few things in the three days I was out. Missed little Nick Cayley. Missed old Nick Cayley. Y'all had to let me know that old Nick went to press conference for you. Miss little Nick Cayley, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Alex Bregman finally decided. We'll talk about that, and we'll hear from others coming up in a bit. Jose Altuve spoke, so you want to hear that. And then this charade is, I guess, no longer a charade. It's continuing. We'll discuss that in a bit. But, Clint, today is a big day because it is decision day with Stephon Diggs. The dead money is going to go up to $16 million if the Texans don't sign Diggs to a contract today. So that is why today is a big day. And I'm curious, we'll kick this thing right off the bat. Is this a hard decision for you as a Texans fan with Stephon Diggs? There's a thought that you could bring him back, or there's a thought that you could go ahead and wash your hands with it. But is this a hard decision for you? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Is it a hard decision in terms of making the decision on bringing Stephon Diggs back or moving on? Is this a hard one for you?
No, it's not a hard one for me. I mean, I think you have several options that could fill the Steph Diggs role that are out there, whether it's a trade option or a free agent option. I think you got a lot of those, you know, veteran players that are savvy, that are hard workers, that are grinders, that are going to be leaders, that are longer in the tooth and maybe not who they once were. I think there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those out there available one way or another. So no, I don't think it's a difficult question. The difficulty in it is right now, which you mentioned, is, you know, they gave him the $22 million. They made a 3-year deal, a 1-year deal, gave him a couple extra million for that 1 year. It was $22 million. Well, they paid it out over 5 years, right? They paid him $4 million, I believe, in 2024. They're gonna pay him $4 million in 2025, and so on. So there's 4 more years at a little over $4 million per year left on this contract that they spread out. Well, when you don't sign somebody or you cut somebody or for whatever reason you don't retain their services, all that money that was spread out over the next 4 years, it accelerates and hits the cap when you make that cut or when you decide that they're no longer going to be with your football team. And so the way his contract, I don't know if this is all contracts, but the way his contract is worded, it's 20-some-odd days before the new league year begins. The new league year begins in mid-February, mid, I think it's 10th through the 12th, somewhere in there, of March. And so We're today apparently is that day to where I don't know that it means anything other than if the Texans were serious about, like if it was as much a no-brainer.
To bring him back
as some folks think it is, then you would bring him back. Pay him whatever you're going to pay him and don't accelerate the cap, the 2025 cap, that $16 million. You could leave it spread out and you could pay him over the years to come on top of whatever you would pay him in his new contract. And so the thought is that if the Texans are serious about re-upping him and if he's serious about coming back,
They can form the contract in a way where they can do more things.
They would get it done before close of business today. So I think it's actually 3:00. I don't know if that's Eastern or Central or what, but like you, they would get it done, avoid the acceleration on the cap, and we keep this thing moving. Now, it could be very easily Stephon Diggs could say, no, I want to go ahead and get my money. I want to hit free agency. I want to let the league dictate what my market is. And then if y'all want in the game, then you can come back. That's probably the smarter business from his angle. But the today marks a day where that cap's going to get accelerated, which, by the way, I did hear Pendergast and Payne and him talking about it this morning, that acceleration of the cap is already in the over-the-cap numbers, like the Texans' current salary cap status right now. It's already cooked into that number. So don't worry. It's like it's not going to all of a sudden change things for the Texans. It's already cooked in. So not a major ordeal, but there is a possibility or was a possibility that Steph Diggs could remain a Texan today.
Yeah, it's not even a thought to me. Like, it's not even a and listen, I think it went with the – I know this is a big if or a big thing. With the exception of the injury, which did keep him out for a long stretch of the season, but with the exception of that, I think it went about as well they could hope for. We saw – his work ethic and you know how he impacted the game and the team immediately in training camp, and we saw him as a pretty good number two. Now clearly we saw Clint, he is not the player he was in Buffalo when he was an all pro out there. We clearly see that is the case. And then at 31 years old, coming off now an ACL, you would imagine that it's probably not going to go up very much from last year or from last year's season. So this isn't hard at all for me. I like understanding, hey, we knew this was going to be a 1 year deal and we were going to have to probably eat this, but it is, I'm not itching to have to try to bring him back.
Not itching, no, but he's definitely going to be in the conversation. I do think Nick loves him. I do think that D'Amico loves him. He didn't pull the Brandon Cooks and burn the Texans and burn Nick Caserio on his way out the way Brandon Cooks did. I do think
Brandon didn't the first year either.
Brandon, no, I wouldn't imagine he's going to be welcome back in the building as long as Nick is here and Cal and Hannah for that matter. But nonetheless, like I do think, Ron, he will be in the pool of players, the pool of wide receivers, because that they need a true two, they need a true three. Now, whether they go spend an early draft pick, like I'm talking about a true two and a true three that's ready to play, not a gamble, not a roll the dice and hope this draft pick. Like I love hearing conversations about wide receivers. Oh, man, hey, you can find wide receivers in the fourth round. Ain't no big deal. Look at Nico Collins. Like you can't approach this thing that way.
Well, Nico Collins did become Nico Collins for
right. That's my point, years. Right? It's like it's not quite as easy. I think as you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, you can just find a receiver here, find a like to me when you talk about the Texans' needs right now, if you're not going to waste a one or not wait, if you're not going to use a first or second round pick on those needs, then you know let's pump the brakes on those picks being answers, right? For every Kalen Bullock that's out there that became a super rookie, there's also a Juice Scruggs out there that we don't know what position he's going to play, right? Not to mention the Kendrick Greens out, or Kenyon Greens out there who are complete bust and aren't probably not going to be with the team moving forward. So, like, it's always interesting this time of year when we start talking about needs, especially of a 10-win football team that's going to the second round of the playoffs. Like, a third-round receiver is not getting you there, right? That's not what we're talking about. So, when you talk about,
or at least to bank on it, or at least to...
Well, you're right. If it happens, it happens. Like, if you bring him in to be your fourth or fifth guy...
And Tank Dell happens, yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, he's better than... Tank's out. He's better than Mechie. He's better than Hutch. He's a better option than Dalton Schultz. Then yeah, okay, hey, we found something there, but that can't be the plan. So I only say all that to say, when we talk about the 2 and 3 receiver on this football team, I gotta believe it's gonna be the pool of receivers that are, and I know it's not Brandon Cooks, but I'm just saying the Brandon Cooks caliber player all the way up to the guys that you would have to trade for in like Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel. Like it's that whole pool of players. It's not betting on the unknown.
Well, especially if the unknown's the third or fourth round. I do think it's a little different if you say, all right, man, we're going to attack in the first round. I'd have a little different expectation. I'm not going to say he should be Brian Thomas. Calm down, Ocho. But, you know, there's a different feel in the first round if you're going in the first round. But a third round, to me, like, that's not the same. Some people here on the text line, on the Texas Hammer text line coming through, we can't really say Diggs is not the same player. Bobby's offense played a major part in making him look mediocre. If you can afford him, bring him back. CJ wants him back. That's enough for me. Some people coming in on the text line with their thoughts.
Great point. That's why you consider it. He's in that pool for damn sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm out. But I just think you can.
I don't know what the number's going to look like. I think you make a great point. Whether it's tread left on the tire or not, the numbers, I mean, like he got removed from the equation with a playoff team in Buffalo and they got better, right? He came down here a year older and was a good player, but Nico was clearly number one and he got injured. And you wake up and you're 31, 32 years old, your best ball's a year and a half ago. What is that number look
like? And they got injured and Tank got injured. Both of them are injured and they ended up in the same place that they were last year in a more competitive game. you know, for me, it's just, I think you can get cheaper, and I think you can get something that is more tread on the tire, as you said, and maybe more left in the tank to me. So I would just be, hey man, appreciate you. Thank you, man. And I'm gonna move on from that thing. For me, with Stephon Diggs, he was good for the
Ron,
Texans in year one, but I'd be ready to move.
I don't think Nick operates like this, and hell, maybe it's impossible to operate like this as a GM. But it seems to me like Nick and D'Amico, especially if you're talking draft and let's say you're middle of the road free agents, like they're more of like, man, it's a fluid situation. Let's see how it works out. Let's pick best available. Let's kind of all these receivers, they all do the same thing. And you're in a situation really with all the need positions, whether it's interior offensive line, interior defensive line, or wide receiver. To me, I would rather you go, okay, let's sign a really good number three. Whoever that is, let's couch.
It's probably going to be a much better price.
All right, right. It's going to be a much better price, and you're going to have a lot more options, right? Because you know what you're going. Okay, so now we know, come hell or high water, we're drafting a wide receiver, right? And it's got it. Look, we are going to, if he starts falling, he falls to his cool, but we're gonna, when the timing's right, we're gonna get real aggressive and go get the guy that we want, and we're gonna slot him in with high expectations as number two wide receiver. But we're going to be aggressive to go get what we want instead of the whole, well, what falls to us, we'll take the best available, and then we'll figure it out in training camp with the guys that we have. Like, the Texans are in a spot with the three positions of need where boy, that being very, very intentional with their moves and their money, I would think, is where they're at, right? I mean, I could see where a year ago, you know, hell, you had so many needs where even though you're going out there and getting the Danielle Hunters of the world, it's like, hey, I'm going to go pay one of the top free agents, and odds are he's at a position of need for my football team, right? I mean, last year that's where you were at. Now your draft picks have played better. Your win now moves have panned out well. You know, what is their approach this year? I'm interested to see what that looks like. I don't know how I got there off the Diggs deal, but the point is I think that watching that wide receiver, how they complete those, let's just say the top three wide receivers of this football team is going to be interesting.
Yeah, so this is one that'll I don't expect they re-sign him.
I don't either. I don't expect
today.
To hear
so
that.
I think it will go on past, and they will, as you said, he'll be in the pool, in the space of guys that are looking to come in to be another wide receiver opposite of Nico Collins. All right, Clint, we'll get more into Nick Caley in a bit, but I don't know if this has been discussed, and the people can jump in with this. By hearing Nick Caley and kind of understanding where he's coming from, who are you seeing that's going to be impacted the most by his arrival? Right now, who are you seeing that's like, all right, this guy, this group, whoever it is going to be impacted?
I got to believe it's the O-line. I've got to believe it's the O-line simply because what they were being asked to do, they clearly – fair or foul, I'm tired of hearing about, well, they were getting asked to do things that could – look, all players get asked to do things that they're not capable of doing. Most good coordinators will then – adjust and find a sweet spot of what their scheme is and what these specific players can do. That was a major, major struggle last year for this offensive line. Like, while I don't know how good some of these guys are and aren't, like, I don't know how bad Father Time affected Shaq Mason. I don't know how, like, Blake Fisher really is as a rookie starting at right tackle. I don't know how bad of a communicator Juice Scruggs is, but I know it's inexcusable for a second round center that's played center in college at a high level to not be able to communicate well enough to even play the position for weeks on ends in the NFL. I know it's unacceptable for two offensive linemen struggle with passing on a tackle in stunt consistently. So I got to think that at the very least, any competent coach, offensive coach, is going to come in here and at the very least, the O-line play is going to be more solid. Hey, we're going to block, because it's not as hard as they make it. Hey, man, we're going to block these guys over here. And even if the defense schemes up right and they got two free runners to the right, if I'm the quarterback and I know it, then I can do something. If maybe throw the ball away. But I can do something. The problem with the Texans were doing was CJ didn't have any control or ability to dictate which way they were going to protect. And CJ had no idea who was coming free when he snapped the football. Is it an A-gap to my left, A-gap to the right? Is it coming off the end where Dalton Schultz can't block a soul? Is, you know, what's going on over here? Like, he had no idea. So it's not very difficult for a Nick Caley to come in and shore up the protection to the point where it's not great, but where CJ knows what the hell's going on. So I'd say O-line.
O-line. All right. I was going to say, man, his background, them damn tight ends, to me, should be impacted. That's his background, what he coached.
Good point.
And obviously he's the OC now, but from New England to L.A., he coached tight ends. I would hope another group that struggled along with that other group.
You got plenty of room to improve.
About. Like, you would feel and hope.
I mean, you got a $12 million tight end, and if you can just get him running routes, get him a little separation, if you can just get him to just fake a punch every now and then. I mean, just a little bit, man.
Chris, we should do this every day. Chris, Tyler, if you're listening, we should put a timer or at least something on to see how long it takes for Clint.
Well, you teed that one up.
I did tee that one up. But how long – But I mean specific things, because $12 million tight end, that specific verbiage comes. I mean, that like, I feel like we could set a timer to see how quickly you get to that on a daily basis. Not just Dalton in particular, because right now Clint has replaced Dalton Schultz's name with $12 million tight end.
Yes.
Like that, like it's not even.
That's the
like
respect the play deserves.
I was going to say, you don't even say his name anymore. You just say
that's it.
How much it is. I think we need to look and see if it increased this year because he may be making more. It may be your 12.5.
I might have to move it around a little bit.
It might be a little bit more going on that. All right. Obviously, the fellas are in West Palm. We'll hear from Will Kunkel here in a little bit. In the 4 o'clock hour, get an update from him. But Jose Altuve spoke. He spoke about a few things, and this thing is serious. It is a serious thing about him in left field. We'll let you hear and discuss that coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Jose Altuve speaks, and as the fellas are kicking things off, he's reported to spring training in West Palm Beach. Check out the fellas from the morning show, Payne and Pendergast. They will be heading down there soon, later on this month, to bring us great coverage. And we will talk to those guys down there when that occurs coming up soon. But a couple of things here with Jose Altuve is he is in West Palm getting ready for the season. And a couple of things he had to say. One, this is Altuve speaking of when the thought of playing left field occurred, when that topic started.
When did you guys start having like the conversation in earnest that this could be something?
After the season.
After the season, then he kind of elaborated a little bit more, talking about it did kind of come from Alex Bregman and potentially being able to keep him here.
No, in the beginning it was for Braggy, and then, you know, just keep the plan, I guess. And I'm trying not to make this a big deal or focus, go somewhere else than prepare for the season and win. So I think that's the main thing. You know, I want to get rid of this left field conversation, try to answer every question possible, and then just move on and start preparing for what we all care about, which is, you know, preparing for the season and start winning.
I agree with you, Jose. I would like to get rid of the left field conversation as well.
Yes.
And just stop doing it. But now, Clint, they're dead ass serious. There's videos of it. I've watched multiple videos of him catching fly balls, doing work in the outfield. And it feels like this thing is serious. And it's continuing even though Bregman has already signed in Boston. Yeah. That's the part that's getting me.
It got real for me last week, Ron, when you were out, we had a conversation. Robert Flores of MLB Network came on the show. And Robert was uncomfortable with the conversation as well, by the way. He was like, I don't know about a left field, man. I don't know. But he did say something that caught my eye. He did allude to, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but because I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he alluded to the fact that he knows the Astros are concerned with his inability ultimately to play second base at a high enough level. Like, they're concerned about his play at second base. Brandon Scott, who was in your chair, goes in, does some digging. He finds several stats where, I mean, he was well below average at second base. And so, while again, not that I agree, but it's one of those, I don't need to agree, I just need to see your method to the madness. Now, if this is a, we got to upgrade our defensive second base and we're trying to find a way to keep Altuve's bat in the game in the regular season, because in the postseason, you can always DH him and put Yordan in left field. You know that part of it. But they're trying to keep his bat in the game and have some fluidity to the DH position, then that makes sense. But Robert Flores got me thinking, Ron, of at least I can see now where the thought of, hey, put him out there, let's see what he can do, is at least an accept. When I first heard it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is silly. This is Pee Wee League stuff. And hell, it may still be. But if second base is that big of a trigger, you know, a problem for him, then maybe that's to blame for what's going on.
Yeah, listen, they know better than we do as they're there. I don't know. You watch every Astros game. Chris, you watch every Astros game. You all did. Like, I never came away from things like, man, Altuve's playing so poorly at second base, man. This is costing them games. I just never watched it thinking like it's and again, they know better than we do to where it's like, hey, man, we got to move this joker. Cause who is the person jumping in to play second base? What is it? Dubon?
Yeah. Like who? I don't know. I don't know like what the plan is now that they ain't signed another infielder.
Right. Like, I mean, I think Dubon is a really good defensive second baseman as well. But I mean, like, I just like that part. Like, I don't know. Like, someone just texted, why do you care, Ron? Let him play left field. I don't know. I it's odd that the Bregman thing made sense. All right, maybe we'll slide Paredes over there and Bregman will play third, and you're just trying to get the best lineup and try to see if you can find a way to slide him in, and he's going to be the one to sacrifice for the lineup. Now that he's gone, to me, DH in second base. To me, it's like, all right, man, if you want to get him some rest, hell, let him DH and put Yordan in left field every so often. Then to say, hey, man, we're going to run him out there in left field to have Dubon play second. Like I don't know. But this thing is dead. This is damn serious. Like, if you're looking at my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather have Yordan out there in left field. And then if he needs a day off or needs a rest off, to let him DH. I'd much rather have that than to have him go and play in left field. A similar thing Tony Gwynn said, it may lengthen his career and save his legs from playing second base. But, well, I don't know, man. It made sense when Bregman was potentially getting himself in the lineup. I don't know about it now.
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest with you, the defense stuff is blown out of proportion. The only way for me personally, I can look at it is okay, if you want to talk defense, whether it's Altuve at second or Jake Meyers' elite glove in center field, however you want to couch it, right? The conversation there is not, boy, it's throughout the regular season, it's gonna save you this many games or this many runs. The conversation there is when you get into a playoff run, does it end up costing you a game? Can it save you a run here or there? How much of a risk are you taking? We're trying to mitigate as much risk as we possibly can by making sure guys are in the right position. You know where I am with this defense stuff. I think it's all overrated. It's all over talk. I think we're going to miss Bregman at third base. I don't think the Astros aren't going to make another run to an ALCS or a World Series because of Bregman's glove.
Text line is
in Boston.
Rolled in. Pete Rose did it. Hell, Craig Biggio caught. Let him catch then. What does that mean? The hell with that? I don't care. Like, yeah, let him go play center then. Hell, why not? Let's have some fun with it. Like, why not? No. It's just it's an interesting thing. We'll see what happens. I do think they're serious, and I think there's a chance we see Jose Altuve play games in the outfield. All right, coming up, what happened yesterday? Not just yesterday, but the whole weekend. As Chris is already shaking his head, as somebody who is an NBA fan, nice dunk from Shingun yesterday, by the way. Kind of pulled it behind his head.
Oh yeah.
He had his all-star dunk. That was his razzle dazzle, the pull behind his head. But the NBA, would you classify it as a poor weekend for them? We'll discuss coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes. Got the email coming up tomorrow. No, it's a chance to get you some rodeo tickets. And if you want to go to Bun B that night, you'll have a chance to win tickets tomorrow. Just saw that coming up in the 3 and the 5 o'clock hour, really all day long on the station on Payne and Pendergast, In the Loop, and with us tomorrow. On this show, The Drive, specifically 3 and 5 o'clock hours, you'll have a chance to win some tickets to see Bun B. Usually a very, very popular night. We'll see what else he is able to do coming off the previous years. But be ready tomorrow, locked and loaded, 3 and 5 o'clock hours on The Drive, your chance to win some tickets. All right. Yesterday was the NBA All-Star Game. And Saturday started. Are you all right, Chris? Chris, this is really painful for you.
Yeah, it is, man.
And at Saturday, NBA Saturday night, last time on TNT, and Lord knows it, they let us know it. From beginning to end, it was the last night, last time the All-Star game would be on TNT, and it feels like again this was a bad night for the NBA. And I think sometimes it's been narrative, but I think Saturday and Sunday was probably rough nights. Sunday, really a rough night for the NBA.
Was it?
Did you have a different thought?
I just think it beats the hell out of doing the same thing over and over again and then complaining because people don't tune in. I mean, I guess that's where I'm at. It is.
Or the people complaining that tune in.
Or anyway it goes, your product, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Stephen A., I mean, is using he's all gas and no brakes when it comes to what the All Star game had turned into in the NBA.
Oh, Charles and Kenny and the rest of I was about
leading up to it, but yeah, it got worse last night. That's what I'm saying though, Ron. Is it such like I'm talking about overall, like big picture, all of it into consideration. We can zero in on Draymond Green or zero in on one guy or the other and have a conversation, but big picture. Last night, I saw more energy and effort.
I was going to say, it sounds like you enjoyed it.
Oh, look, I will be 100% honest with you. I enjoyed the new format.
Really?
But I enjoyed the new format first and foremost because dudes were competing. Like, who would have thunk that it was going to take putting the old heads on the floor with a bunch of young dudes that have no business with an all-star uniform and the potential of them getting embarrassed for them to actually play defense. I mean, hell, I saw one guy line up to damn near take a charge last night. They were legit.
I saw Kyrie picking up 90.
I'm telling you, there were several.
I don't know about no charges being taken, but I saw.
I mean, there was wild, man, to me. And again, I'm a casual fan. I've never been like, boy, I got to watch the All-Star game tonight. But it got to a point where when I tuned in, I was like, what am I? I am 100% wasting my time as a human watching this. They scored more than 200 points in a game last year. I mean, what are we doing? This to me was the entertainment value was up because the energy and effort value, I mean, was up tremendously, and I didn't mind the fast paced action.
Really? 713-572-4610, the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, did you like the format better? Did you like what you saw last night? Because I want to, because I don't know if you're saying you liked the format better. You liked what the format
I like the result better. I did not mind the format. Now, it's a crying-ass shame that you got to change the format and do what they did in order to get the effort. But the reality of it is it was dying a fast death. And I think last night was a move in the right direction on that one product, as well as creating a lot of conversation around the game of what they need to do and maybe they don't need to do.
Yeah, because to me, like, I wasn't a big fan of the format. It was starting and stopping, sit down. And you're right, those rising star guys. Hell, I didn't know some of those dudes out there. Or I had seen some since college. They had no business being there. Their night is Friday night. Play the rising star thing. There we go. Friday night. Yeah. Now, if there's a few Rockets out there that you want to see, but that's where their thing is. I think you got to earn to be on the court of that. And I don't know that they did that yet, but. I still think you saw some stuff like what Steph decided to pull up from half court a couple of times.
Yeah, he did.
And there, which that's one of the things people complained about is there banging threes, and they still just shot a ton of threes out there. I will give you that there was more intensity, but to me that's just what it is just slightly more intensity. Like, to me, they were in the game getting in the deal of coming down and just, hey, man, we're not playing any semblance of defense at times. Or, hey, man, we're just going to shoot. There are points in the game where Dame Lillard and Steph will just get into, let's see who we can shoot it the furthest contest in the middle of the game.
I think it's always going to be an all-star game. But I tell you, in my opinion, it didn't get all-star game sloppy until the last game took place. When they took the floor again after whatever the hell they were doing honoring the TNT guys.
The long for 30 break minutes. In the middle of the final game.
The only bad break they had. I thought the NBA did a tremendous job with other intermissions, if you will. But like that was silly as hell, and it didn't land at all. It was not good. Other than the guys they were actually that the subjects. The topic of conversation, the execution, the plan was bad, the execution was bad. But, like, I thought the last 5 minutes of the game was your typical NBA. Is why you were in this situation anyway.
Because the game had gotten out of hand and they were just
Leading up to that point, I thought all the way across the board, I thought it was significantly better. Like, I thought it was, like you said, there was guys defending from, like, the inbound pass at times. They were trying to block shots. They were cutting passing lanes. I mean, they were keeping the ball. At one point, they're doing everything they can to keep the ball out of another guy's hands because he's hot. Like I'm good with it.
Yeah, yeah. To me, to me, Christian, I know you're a big NBA fan. I know you've appeared disgusted for what you watched last night. But if they brought, like Clint is saying, that level, and I don't even want to use intensity, but because I think that's a little too aggressive. But just that quality of play, and they just made it East-West like it was, and they brought that quality of play.
Good with
it. Yeah, you're good with it. I think there's a little bit of, hey, man, I don't know what the hell some people are looking for in an all-star game. Right? Like, I get what you're saying. Like, all right, man, that score was 215 to whatever, like 230 to 2, something like
that. 211 to 189.
Like, but some of it, I'm like, all right, guys, like, let's not be too aggressive in an all-star game. And it's going to be an all-star game, but if they just show a little bit of that in an East-West versus West game and a regular-ass game that doesn't have three different games to 40 and all that, then I think it can work. But I think this is more of a what are the players going to bring to the table energy-wise.
You see, out there. To me, it was – I mean, I liked, you know, the somewhat intensity that they brought, but it was just more, all right, we're playing basketball, we're going to a break. We're playing basketball, we're going to a break. We're playing basketball, and that just kind of ruined it for me because it's just, I'm here to watch y'all play. I'm not here to sit here and watch y'all play, and then guess what? Let's go to a break.
And yeah, let's go to a break and get a mini concert in. Or
it's just like, okay, and even some of the players.
Academy Award of Exception.
Even some of the players were just like, yeah, like we didn't like that because just like we're hot, we're ready to roll, we're ready to play, and then now we're just sitting down. Yeah. Sitting down for the next 10, 15 minutes.
Well, what I hope is that ultimately all that matters is that some of the criticism gets back to the players and we realize why. Like,
I think that's where it started. Yeah, I think that's where it started.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing that can fix it, right? I mean, or I think we're going to continue to see different formats until they get tired of rotating formats. Like Draymond Green last night was super critical. And, hey, tip the cap to Draymond for getting something off his chest. But at some point, if you're going to be that critical, you got to flip around and say, hey, but I do realize that we're in this position because of me and my generation of players. We just made a mockery of the game in the All-Star, and so here we are. Like, we got to be better as players so this doesn't happen anymore. Like, he dropped the ball big time not saying that. Just being like, uber critical.
Like, he's somebody from the outside.
Yeah, man. Just uber critical of this new format and never realized. And I think it was Kenny or Chuck, one of them, fresh off of one of his just fire hoses, and I mean blazing the NBA for this format. Kenny or Chuck, one of them said, well, hey, look, I mean, Draymond, you speak your mind, you're free to have your opinion, but we're in this situation because of your generation of players. It may have been Shaq.
Chuck was saying it. You can act all this way you want to. Hell, it ain't the kids that came behind you. It's your generation.
I get frustrated with it all, Ron. The basic low hanging fruit stuff that you would think would be a slam dunk, like Steph Curry in a 3-point contest. Like, why is that not a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the last time he's competed.
He's competed in it. Like, why would that dude not be the – I mean, everybody should be – instead, we're talking about trying to beat Dame Lillard for, you know, is he going to three-peat or is somebody going to knock him out? Like, I don't know. Again, like, when I tune in, it's cool to see, you know, those guys. But, I mean, I'm tuning in. I want to see Steph. And I would think that 99.9% of casual NBA fans would tune in to see Steph over anybody else. Why would he not be the draw to your three-point contest? Why are we banking on – A G
you didn't
League
want to see Tyler Hero out there.
Why are we banking on a G League white boy? It's
that
almost
was
just a it's,
no
it's,
reason
it,
to bring that portion.
It,
up.
It's almost a gimmick. Yeah, no, it is, but it is. It's
no,
like
he's right.
I think it's entertaining for folks to go. There's this 6'2" white boy that's not good enough to play in the league that comes in and wins a dunk contest. Like there's a white man can't typically jump. You know, ideal to this thing. Like that's embarrassing. If I'm watching. Nobody wants to face him. Right. No, like I'm cool. Mac McClung was it's entertaining. It was entertaining this week. But it's like that's where the NBA's at with their dunk contest. Is bring a guy. Dude's played in one game for the Magic. Literally on the box score. There's one game action. And comes up to I mean
he did he have to play in one game to be able to get in this? Is that why they did it?
I have no idea. All I know is that
he's made more money in the dunk contest than he has in his NBA.
Yeah, like three times I saw it. I saw it. But I mean that like to me that's the kind of stuff that like you can't even get those things right. Like, it's no wear and tear whatsoever on Steph to go out there and shoot. And they, for whatever reason, that's
he
not
did it. I mean, he did it last year against with Sabrina, and that was probably maybe the highlight of the.
They couldn't pull that off again this year, by the way, for some reason.
They couldn't pull it off. Yeah.
But, oh well.
But what you're saying, though, another one, like, this, the league is, and we'll get into the LeBron part of it. Also, I didn't like what he did yesterday. But the league is so reliant on them old ass dudes to have to come to have to save the day, because they don't have younger dudes. Hell, even Dame's almost 35. If he ain't 35, they don't have young dudes to come in and to have to carry this thing. All right, coming up, it is clear who is being made out, or maybe it is not made out. Seems to be, according to people, the truth. Who has been made out the real reason why the Texans offense did what it did. If you haven't heard some of the things that have been said about Bobby Slowick, we'll let you hear that coming up next.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.